always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to an old school version of the Lakers Lounge, in which there is no side panel, there is no below graphic, there is no overlay because Canva is down. It's nice to know, though, Raj, that I could, I guess, theoretically send an email through Canva, something nobody has ever used in the history of Canva use. So the reason that Raj and I look the way that we do right now, and the reason that my face is as big as it is right now, is because the program that I usually use to design the side panel and the rundown and the overlay down below is completely down. Everything is operational on that website other than what everybody uses it for. So Raj and I are just going to sit here, with zero plan for the show and just head on down this merry path together. So Raj, how are you holding up?
I'm doing well. I've always believed, and people learn this when they do content, I think sometimes we always think of crazy titles to put, but sometimes it could just be two people talking face to face. And I don't think they're actually needed much. We just got an amazing finals game. Thank God the season does not end on Wednesday. I had a little bit of a traumatic response to halftime, Anthony, because I realized, oh shoot, Knicks up 7, NBA season's over on Wednesday, summer league is 3 weeks away, and so I'm glad this gets pushed up a little bit. But this has been a fun finals. It's been everything I hoped. I'm glad the outside distractions didn't take away from the game, and it was still an awesome NBA game with a ton of moments.
It was a really, really good game. It is a fascinating series that we get to watch here between two teams that are punching and counterpunching, and it's always really fun when you have two coaches who haven't been there before. You know, try to navigate this kind of a setting. You have two teams and two cores that haven't really been there before either. So this is all kind of new and unique territory. I actually had a pretty good feeling about the Spurs in tonight's game and put some Avery Donut money on the Spurs for this one because of, I'm going to be honest, because of all of the stuff that was going on, like peripherally for this game, I just kind of figured this Knicks team that has been relying heavily on vibes, having that guy there falling asleep up in a suite and having it the entire city kind of run amok so that he could do that, would throw off the vibes. And turns out, you know, at least in terms of results, I was right. So we will go ahead and over the course of the show, we'll talk about this series and what we've seen from it and what we've learned from it. We'll talk about the Lakers offseason now that it is underway and as it creeps closer to us in kind of more tangible terms. And we will honestly just kind of go wherever the conversation takes us. I am not under the, you know, the tyrannical power of the rundown in this episode. So wherever we choose to go, Raj, the world is our oyster. I will say that you and I are not famous enough to not like to just get away with two people
are we
hopping
not
on a mic and talking this out. Like that works okay if it's like you know, LeBron and Steve Nash. It works a little less well if it is two basketball dweebs who are just, you know, popping on here and talking about the basketball game that they just saw. A quick reminder before we hop on, before we go further, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Share the show with your friends. Tell your friends that you love this thing. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. But as evidenced by the lack of their logos on this show right now, because we are very limited with the number of logos that we can show right now, it is all perfectly fine with me. Also, as always, the show is brought to you in YouTube form in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups when you sign up. Use the promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right. So I'll just, you know, Trump stuff aside, I did have a pretty good feeling about the Spurs in this game. You know, and my reason for it is I think these are two incredibly evenly matched teams. Basically, my thinking going into the series in terms of Avery's donut money was I was going to bet on whoever was the underdog because I thought that, you know, that would be the better odds in this thing. Looked like a genius for the first couple of games, but coming into this one, I was like, you know, I never thought that the Knicks were going to sweep the Spurs in this game. I thought that Wemby played with a lot more force. I thought that the Knicks did a much better job of taking advantage of the opportunities created by the amount of attention paid to Victor Wembanyama. What did you see though, as far as the adjustments that kind of got the Spurs going in this one? Because they kind of sort of led this thing for most of the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, Spurs were down 7 at halftime, right? They had a great start, as they've done this whole series. You know, they get out pretty hot. And I feel like Wemby gets worn down by the Knicks, especially Karl-Anthony Towns, who's entered a new realm of physicality of a player. I mean, he's had a good playoff so far, but I feel like this series has just taken him to another tier of, yeah, I can get to this level. I can bother you and I can be a bully ball type of player. And I think he's worn him down.
Yeah.
I thought the Spurs did a really good job of playing faster. Everyone's been like, why aren't they just lobbing it up to him? He's 8'5", right? 8'5". And on the broadcast, like, just throw it up, throw it up. Well, it's hard to throw it up to a big man when they're having bodies leaning on them. OG Anunoby, who, my God, I think that's the highest ROI on a trade that I've seen in a very long time. Maybe Aaron Gordon is in that. Obviously, Anthony Davis.
It annoyed me so much when he was traded for how little it cost to land him.
RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, and I believe no picks were involved. I think that was straight player swap. So the right to pay, by the way, Emmanuel Quickly got a big deal after that contract, or maybe he was on it. But in any case, OG.
And RJ Barrett, who I think is like one of the more overrated players in the league, too. All of it annoyed me.
Yeah, so Toronto's probably having a tough time. I mean, Toronto watching two straight finals, right? Pascal Siakam last year, and then OG Anunoby this year. The Pacers and Kings can have one of the – or not Pacers, the Raptors and Kings can have one of the more sad watch parties.
And that's why Masai runs the Mavericks now.
Masai's a good GM. He had a tough end of the road there in Toronto. I thought the Spurs playing faster got Wemby some lobs. I thought they did a nice job getting him some relocation threes rather than him having to kind of create off the dribble and go against contact every single time. And then Stephon Castle, just his first half was amazing. I think he was 7 for 8 or something like that. Finished every contact finish. And then they played Dylan Harper more. I'm still on the, like, I would still bench De'Aaron Fox, even with the clutch jumper he had late in this game.
Bench
I just think
him?
Dylan Harper.
Ooh.
Yeah, I would start Dylan Harper. Not bench as he won't play, bench as in Dylan Harper starts over him. That's where I'm at in this year. Like, I think Dylan Harper brings a level of just creativity and offensive force. And
downhill
with Fox,
force,
it just
downhill
force. And Fox, it feels like he's playing at a different tempo than the rest of the Spurs. They're like, let's go, we're trying to run. And he's like, no, let me slow down and run my ball screen offense. It just feels a little oil and water to me in terms of their combination, but yeah, that's what I thought the Spurs did. And again, this was just a tough, tough, mentally tough game for them. I mean, to be down at halftime, the Knicks garden erupting, Jalen Brunson starting to throw haymakers, these late threes. But Jalen Brunson, by the way, like, watched a lot of clutch players, watched obviously Kobe growing up. Jalen Brunson feels, watched Steph, right? Steph's run. Jalen feels like one of the more inevitable clutch time, crunch time players that I've seen. And it's just every shot somehow finds a ball in the net. But I thought the Spurs did a really nice job kind of cleaning that stuff up. And they won a Josh Hart three-point making game. Like, that is, that almost feels like double to me. Josh Hart, I don't believe, is going to have five threes again in the series. We'll see. He's been fantastic. That's kind of the cherry on top for his game. But yeah, what a fun back and forth. I'm so excited. I want the Knicks to win this series. I'm kind of back and forth, if I want the Spurs to win game four. I'm so
whatever makes conflicted. Whatever gives us more basketball is where I'm at.
Okay. That's where I'm at too. Then.
You know, it's like, well, I think if I had a choice between the two teams who I would prefer to watch win, it's probably the Knicks.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I, you know, Lakers fans are not like, are not allowed to like the Spurs in any way, shape, or form. That said, man, if this series swung because that guy was in that arena, like, I'm not going to lie.
That'd be the craziest sports story ever. Like, the Knicks, imagine the Knicks just don't win again. Like, it's just four straight by the Spurs. That would be the craziest story.
I'm not going to lie.
I could see in your head starting to root for it. Like, this is crazy to watch. I can watch you seeing it live in your head, just like be crazy.
I was just thinking, all right, what are the Spurs odds at this point? So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, because I like looking at these things, you know. Spurs Thunder, I watched very heavily through a Lakers prism. I've talked to Pete, you know, on the show here a couple of times about, like, lessons that we've learned from these playoffs and stuff like that. Is there anything that, like, as we kind of embark into the Lakers offseason and personnel decisions and all of that stuff, is there anything that you're kind of taking away from this series that you would like to see reflected by the Lakers roster next year?
What this feels like is I'm on vacation and you made me just remember that, hey, you know, we go home in two days. Like, you gotta get
no, I'm like, you can, this is still, I like that part of, you know, the
road trip ends.
Like, that part of the show is like, that's on its way. But this is at least like you could, right? You could dream of ways that the Lakers roster could function in this series.
Sure. Yeah. Again, like I've said before, the Spurs and OKC team building model is just not realistic, especially in one summer. And I'd argue even the Knicks transaction window, we just went through the OG trade and how frustrating that was. They have two trades to me that are just completely, they've hit out of the park. The Karl Anthony Towns one, I honestly thought that was a little bit more even than it's played out to be. DiVincenzo and Randall for Towns, I felt, was a pretty even swap, and both teams have gotten real playoff success out of it. The Wolves getting to multiple conference finals, now the Knicks, you know, on the precipice of winning an NBA championship, and then the OG trade, obviously both of those. But the OG trade, the Towns trade, and the Bridges trade, Anthony, were all in separate transaction windows. One was in one summer, and one was in another, and one was at the deadline. So again, to see how they built this team out. Took a while to get here. Josh Hart was also, traded for, I believe, or maybe he was signed out in free agency. Brunson's obviously, his discount has helped in this. So when I look at this from the Lakers side, what can we get done in one summer and kind of solidify a position or multiple positions, right? So you're not going to get, just if we're assuming, I think most people are, Austin and LeBron come back. You have Luka, Austin, LeBron locked in as starters. I have a hard time believing you're getting the center of the future and wing of the future and depth. You know, by the way, in the Knicks, it's interesting. None of their players played 40 minutes tonight. Brunson played 35 minutes in an NBA Finals game. 35 minutes. Like, Luka played.
It's so funny listening, watching the ESPN broadcast. I'm telling you, once you guys hear me say this, I am going to ruin ESPN broadcast for you, or at least Richard Jefferson games for you. Because
I knew you were going with Richard Jefferson. I just knew you were going at Richard Jefferson here.
Once per game, at least. Once okay. per game. Whatever team he is calling, if that team is losing and that team's best player goes to the bench, Richard Jefferson will just laser focus on when's that player coming back? When's the how long can the Knicks and like for like a solid 5 minute stretch in the and like look, Brunson only playing 35 minutes in this game. That's a fair point to make. But like he'll call Lakers games and Luka will sub out and he'll be like, yeah, how long could the Lakers afford to play Luka or sit Luka here? And like Luka's on pace to play 43 minutes in that game because JJ Redick's a crazy person. And RJ will still be there, just like going at that point, just like, you know, like a dog after a bone. But the thing here with like the Knicks minutes thing, and I think this is where the sport's going. You have to play so effing hard in these minutes that everybody is on the court, you know? And I think these longer rotations, it might be a pendulum thing where we might actually arrive at a place where we say like, all right, that was crazy to play Brunson only 35 minutes. This thing needs to swing back the other way and maybe head towards, you know, a little closer to Tibbs' ball or whatever. But I do kind of wonder, like, you know, the Grizzlies did this for a chunk of their season and looked really good doing it. The Thunder play this way. The Pacers were like this last year, where it's like you play these really long rotations, and the thinking is that every single minute that any player spends on the court, they are playing, you know, in sixth gear. Like they are hitting that infinite turbo button to be able to perform at the highest level, at least physically, that they possibly can. And they might have overthought this with Brunson, but I think that's kind of what the Knicks are doing here.
Well, like to that point of where the league is going, not a single player touched 40 minutes tonight in a finals game, which, again, I find that astounding when I watch Luka and Austin play 40.
This is a must-win game for Spurs. You
know? Yeah, and like those two are playing 46 minutes in a game in March, right? That's just how important those games were. Those games are, you think about the stakes for this one. So when I look at what the Lakers can do or when, like what I guess imagine what a good offseason is, just I kind of pull from, okay, can we solidify the wings? Can I go get young wings that are locked into contracts? Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, guys like that. Can I go and get those guys with the assets I have to add on to the core that I'm bringing next year? Can I go steal an Isaiah Hartenstein? That's another thing that stood out to me, Anthony, just with the playoffs. If you look around like all the playoff teams and even the ones that aren't playing super late, but second round teams, there's no team in there that is playing a bottom of the barrel minimum type center, right? Jokic, Gobert. Oh, center,
for sure.
Yeah, at the center spot. Like there's no team that's playing underpaid center, Karl Anthony Towns, right, in the East. But you just look at all the center names. Isaiah Hartenstein's making 30 plus million. Like all these guys, they've invested real assets into and have paid. And I think that's important going into the summer as well. But I just don't know if that's, again, I don't know if you can get your wings and you can get your center in one offseason. I compared it to, it's kind of like if the Lakers are watching the playoffs, and I'm not sure if like this is how they're taking this, but it's kind of like seeing the test before you have to take it.
Watching these, the series?
Yes, Rob is, yes, yes. What else? What do you think?
Disneyland season.
No, is it really?
This is when a lot of people go. Early summer.
But the games are in the, you can, like, you can do Disneyland, but you can do Disneyland in the day and then be home for the Laker game. Games at, the Knicks.
Like
game.
All the rides open up late in the evening. You know, all the kids go home and like all the rides are like they're the wait time for those rides dip way down.
All right.
I wonder.
But I'll say this is like watching the test you have to take, but you have the exam tomorrow. Right, like, oh, these are the questions on the test. This is what we need. And it's like, well, the test is tomorrow. Like, you can't pull an all-nighter and, you know, kind of ace his exam. But I do think, again, I think there's steps you can take this summer to build a really good team. Again, my expectations aren't build the Knicks, because, again, that's just not a roster that's possible.